baby. Yeah.
Are you going to say something?
I can say something. Yeah, you're a little under the weather, so I'll do the talking. Yeah.
I'm playing hurt.
All right. Well, good morning, and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, and my raspy voice partner over here.
That's right. Developing my bass voice now. Yeah, this is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky. I don't sound so jolly when you're that deep, but yeah. I got this terrible, terrible cold. And so, I'm playing.
You're playing.
Playing hurt, but I'm here.
If you hadn't introduced yourself, I could have said, and in the studio today is James Earl Jones, special guest.
Now, don't get me laughing, because then I'm going to start coughing, and I don't know if I'll be able to stop or not. Yes, I'm from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt. And where are you from, did you say? Because I'm also, the head's all clogged up, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah, Emmanuel Lutheran in Waterloo, Illinois.
All right, very good. We come courtesy of those congregations, and we do appreciate their giving us the opportunity to be here. You know, I think part of my problem, Matt, is stress. You know, because they say that stress will kind of lower your defense system.
Yeah,
and everything.
Your immune system, yeah.
Well, I'm kind of stressed out because our old car, we treasured it, we loved it, had it for 8 years, had nearly 200,000 miles on it.
That's pretty good. That's a lot of hospital visits.
That's a lot of hospital visits. A lot of trips over here to KFUO.
No doubt.
So we got the new car, and of course, well, you want to get something. You know how it is. You got to have the bells and whistles, and got the toys.
Sure.
So we got a GPS system on it. Do you have a GPS system on your car?
A GPS system? I don't think I do. I'm not sure what that is. A GPS?
Well, I don't know. It says it in the book. It said it was a GPS. GPS. It's like got it's maps and stuff.
Well,
and
you can find something. John, I think that's GPS.
Oh, okay. So you don't actually pronounce it. You spell it out.
It's initials, an acronym. Yeah.
What is that again? Oh, yeah. Well, of course, I know what it is because it says it right there. GPS.
Yeah,
oh,
Global Positioning System, right?
Oh no, I thought it was Going Places System, but it's what is it? A global. It's not Going Places System.
I'm pretty sure it's Global Positioning System, right?
All
yeah,
right.
The satellites, and they help you find your way.
Do you have one of those GPSs?
In my car. No,
okay.
I don't have
all the bells
and whistles like you.
I have no idea what that was about. Sorry. Loose finger.
Ta-da!
Excuse me. So how do you find yourself, how to find your way around with that one of them systems there, them Going Places systems?
Yeah, well, it's called a map, John. Now, to be honest, we don't have it in the car, but, you know, now we got it we have it on our cell phones. You know, I'm sure you might too. But you have the smartphones, and
okay.
You just type it in where you're going.
You can do it on your phone.
Yeah,
well.
We do it on our phones.
Is that right?
You got it all.
Okay,
it's a phone. It's a GPS.
It's the whole thing.
It's got it all.
Right there. I have to check that out. I got one of those smartphones, but apparently you have to be smart to use it too. They didn't tell me that. I thought it would make me smart, but apparently no. So here's the deal. So we took it over to the grandkids, and the grandkids are in the front seat playing. And then I said, "Oh, look, you can talk to Grandpa's car." You know, and we were trying to call up Grandma and everything.
Oh, cool!
And the kids are pushing buttons and everything. But here's why I'm stressed out. My grandson Eric turned it to French. All the language is in French now.
And good luck getting it back to English, because it's giving you directions probably how to do it, but it's in French.
But it's all in French. So all the way over here, there was some French lady telling me how to get here to the radio station, and luckily I knew how to get her on my own. So if anyone out there knows French, if you give me a call so we can translate whatever the part is, it's supposed to be language change.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that comes out in French.
taking you to a croissant restaurant. French bakery.
Exactly. All the time.
Isn't that what I want?
Yeah. The only points of interest are the Eiffel Tower.
Your GPS system is broken.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'll take it back to the dealer. Maybe they know. Maybe they speak French. And by the way, shout out to Jason, the guy who sold his car, and he did really nice. Thank you, Jason.
Good deal.
Okay.
Yeah, they probably have someone on staff there that speaks French
because
emergencies.
It probably happens all the time.
Oh, I'm sure it's a common occurrence.
Well, it could have been Spanish, and then there's probably lots of people that speak Spanish, but there's not that so many with French. So what are we doing today, Matt? Because I'm playing hurt, so you're going to kind of carry the ball for us here.
Sure. Well, we're still, we've been celebrating Easter, and in that season of Easter, and really celebration in that church.
Just a second. There's no time for foolishness.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, now, okay.
now
we're
we
on
can
track.
Get serious.
Yeah,
okay.
We need to play that at least once a show.
That's right.
So anyway, we're still in the season of Easter, and you know, really a celebration that hopefully carries on past Easter, really in every day of our Christian lives, that celebration of a risen Lord and Savior,
Jesus. Technically speaking, isn't that what we do every Sunday?
Yeah.
Like a mini Easter, whatever the Sunday is?
You brought that up. Yeah, so every day is that celebration of Easter. We don't celebrate on the Sabbath, the Saturday anymore. We celebrate on Easter, on Sunday.
Yes.
Primarily because it is that weekly celebration of our Lord's resurrection. And the celebration of that we see in Word and Sacrament and even in Lent, right? The 40 days of Lent doesn't technically include those Sundays because
you get the 40 days by having to take out the 6 Sundays, sure.
So, very good. So we're continuing that recognition, that celebration. And I want to look today at one of those central figures in the Easter account, Thomas.
Yes.
One of Jesus' disciples.
Or as he's better known as, Doubting.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
I'd like to get stuck with that nickname.
I know. It branded for not just life, but now for a few millennia.
That's right.
Nickname Doubting. I want to talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about who Doubting Thomas is and why he's been branded as Doubting. And by the way, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Hallelujah. Now, if you said he's risen to Thomas, you probably wouldn't have responded that way, right?
No, that's right. Exactly.
As Christians, it's like a knee-jerk reaction, and rightly so. He's risen. He's risen indeed. But those weeks, that week following the resurrection, the disciples basically say to Thomas, "Thomas, he's risen." Thomas doesn't say he's risen indeed. Instead, he says, "Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Prove it.
That's right. I want to see it. I want to see it.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we pick up here. I'll see it when I believe. I'll believe it when I see it. But is there more to this Thomas guy? You know,
is there more to this Thomas guy?
Yeah, that's the question, because I think, you know, your average Joe, you know, who Thomas, Doubting Thomas, like we said, you know, myself included. And maybe that's all we would call him if that was the only time he shows up in the Bible.
You're the average Matt.
I'm the average Matt.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, no, you're not. You're the above-average Matt.
I wouldn't go that far.
All right, so actually Thomas shows up elsewhere in Scripture?
He does. So in the Gospel of John, which is where we get that Doubting Thomas nickname, he shows up two other places.
Okay.
So let's look at those. These little-known places where Thomas shows up, and we get a glimpses of who this disciple of Jesus is.
Matt, knowing that I was playing hurt, he actually has the passages all printed out here, so I don't have to worry about getting paper cuts on top of my
in large print.
And I see that. Thank you. Thank you, young blood. So which one do you want, then?
Well, let's go with the second one there.
Okay,
John 11.
John 11. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Ah, there he is.
Yeah, Thomas. There's Thomas again.
Now the twin, not yet Doubting.
So he has another in the twin. So he had a twin, it looks like. And here, this is kind of a familiar account. Lazarus has died, and Jesus says, "Well, let's go. We want to go and mourn with his relatives. This is a friend of mine, a friend of ours. Let's go." And the disciples say, "Are you nuts?"
That's right.
This is toward the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth. He's not so popular anymore, at least among some of the Jews. They're looking to stone him, even to kill him. What's Thomas's reply, though? "Well, let's go ahead and go, he says,
let us also go that we may die with him." So that's a rather courageous statement.
Yeah, very good. So assuming he's being honest here, not sarcastic, maybe we should call him Courageous Thomas.
Ah, we could do that.
Not Doubting, but Courageous.
There you go.
Very good.
All right. So now he's the twin. He's courageous, but still doubting.
Well, let's look at another account here.
Okay,
in John chapter 14.
You mean there's more than one other account?
Yeah, so here's Thomas again.
All right. John 14. This is Jesus speaking. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas.
Yeah, there's Thomas again.
Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah. So here, Jesus speaking kind of cryptically, you know, the way, where I'm going. And Thomas is honest enough to ask him, Jesus, no, wait a second.
Yeah.
We're not so sure what the way is.
What's going on here?
What are you saying? And then from that honest question comes perhaps one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture.
Yes, yeah.
Jesus' reply, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you said it. So if it hadn't been for Thomas, Jesus may not have said that. That may not have been recorded.
Oh, that's
the way, the truth,
yeah,
and the life.
Yeah, if he hadn't brought that
so
up.
So maybe from that account, maybe we should call him Honest Thomas.
Okay.
He's got a struggle here. He doesn't quite understand. And instead of just letting it go, he asks Jesus. He's honest.
Yeah, unlike the other guys that are just going, oh, he's always so confusing. I don't want to look like I'm stupid.
Yeah,
ask a dumb question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, Thomas, a sincere question. So we got Honest Thomas, Courageous Thomas, Twin Thomas, but I'm thinking Doubting Thomas is probably going to stick.
Yeah. It's always the last thing you do. See, that's why when you finish something up, you got to be really careful what the last thing you do, because that's what people remember you.
Yeah. That's certainly the case with Thomas. So why don't you read that for us from John chapter 20, this account with Thomas, and this is why he gets that nickname, Doubting.
Classic story. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with him when Jesus came. Was there another Thomas amongst the disciples?
Not that's named.
Okay.
But
I'm just wondering why they always keep specifying that he's...
Yeah, Didymus or the twin, they make that specific mention.
Okay, so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord, he has risen. Yeah. But he said to him, unless I see in the hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.
Yeah, so no, he's risen indeed.
No doubt.
And you know, you probably know as well as I do, the Greek there is pretty emphatic, right?
Double negative.
So it's like, it's not just, I probably won't believe it. No, I will definitely not believe unless I see.
Yeah, pretty well set in the standards
pretty
of what
emphatic.
Has to be. Yep. You want me to keep reading?
Yeah, sure.
8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, and that's always tickled me, that after seeing the resurrected Jesus, they're still...
They're still locking the doors. Yeah. I mean, so perhaps, you know, 8 days later now, so the first account happens the evening of Easter Sunday.
Yes, Easter night.
And then 8 days later really is, you know, by our reckoning, the next Sunday.
Yeah.
And perhaps we're in the same room, perhaps the same locked doors, and like you said, still locked. Even though they know Jesus is alive, they're still fearful, it looks like, and... Thomas is with them.
And
that's the difference.
One of the things that I don't think people realize is that they hadn't seen Jesus for those 8 days either.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. He came in the big Easter deal, and then after that, it's kind of like, where'd he go?
Yeah.
So, well, anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, you're right. And here, Thomas, I mean, you wonder, he didn't really have, I mean, I would go so far to say he didn't really have faith, at least not faith when it comes to Jesus being alive. I mean, if Hebrews 11, for instance, is our definition of faith, you know, that certainty of things unseen, Jesus' resurrection to Thomas is unseen, so he doesn't believe it.
And I, you know, the thought just occurred to me, after 8 days, he probably believes it less.
Yeah.
You know, can't you see
he hasn't
him
showed up
Peter?
Yet.
Yeah, it's Monday. Oh, so where's Jesus? Yeah, risen from the dead, is he? Yeah, really, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh, yeah, when's he going to be showing up, guys?
Yeah, was he razzing the other disciples?
He might have been.
And then I wonder, too.
Sure.
I mean, we're kind of hard on Thomas. What if any one of the other disciples hadn't been there? I mean, would they have fared any better than Thomas?
Well, and let's also point this out. Apparently, even though they knew what they saw, at least they thought they knew what they saw, they're locking the doors again.
They're still locking the doors.
So apparently, you know, even they're still having some doubts and questions about this Jesus who came back from the dead.
Well, and they do doubt. I think we should point that out. When the women come back and report Jesus is risen, the tomb is empty, they think it's foolishness.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, if any one of them wouldn't have been there, we might be calling him Doubting John or Doubting, you know,
Peter or
whoever.
James or Andrew.
Exactly. Go down the list.
Not to be fair, because you're picking on us guys now. You know, the women come and they say it's foolishness. But when the women initially see the tomb empty, they don't believe either. Just check out Mark's account. They go away with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
So nobody's actually believing off the bat.
Exactly. I think that's a great thing to point out. They're all sinners like you and me, and they all have these doubts, and they all, it's just too good to believe, perhaps.
Yep.
Even
yep.
though Jesus told them that after 3 days he would rise, he was pretty clear about that still, no, they don't believe it.
And, you know, it is interesting, because that's what the angels emphasize, that they should remember what he said. Yeah, yeah, so he told you this, so why are you so surprised? But, yeah. I'm sorry, where do you want me to pick it up here, where Jesus now comes and shows himself to Thomas?
Yeah, so okay. go ahead.
All right. So anyway, it's 8 days later. They're locking the doors, and this time Thomas is with them. And as we suggested, he's probably been teasing them the whole week. Yeah, where is this Jesus guy? Yeah, you saw. You're just like the women. You guys just you had some kind of vision. You know, you got all worked up emotionally. You started seeing things. But anyway, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Yeah, so in the sight of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, all Thomas can say is, "My Lord and my God."
Ah, yeah.
He believes. But what I think is important here isn't what Thomas says, but what Jesus says and what Jesus does.
Yeah.
Jesus shows up to show Thomas, it looks like primarily here, his hands, his side. And I think it's interesting that on the one hand, Jesus doesn't give up on Thomas. You know,
good point.
On the one
yeah.
hand, Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, tough Thomas, you had your chance. You're
out
of luck."
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You Lutherans, you talk about being saved by faith. I'm thinking then God should have simply said, "Well, that scratches you off my book, buddy. You don't have any faith in me, and that's what it's all about. So just forget it. You're out of here."
He's out of here. Yeah, no, yeah. But no, instead Jesus comes, and he comes to him graciously and lovingly, saying, showing him his hands and his side.
Yeah,
I mean, there might have been a little sternness in Jesus' voice, too, though, because on the other hand...
Yes.
The other hand... Jesus doesn't just come and say, "Oh, that's all right, Thomas, don't worry about it. It's okay. You know, we've got doubts all the time. I'm doubting, you know, but all right." No, instead, he says, "Stop doubting and believe."
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so it's not that Jesus doesn't give up on him,
no.
but it's also that Jesus doesn't just kind of wink an eye at disbelief and say, "Oh, don't worry about
that's
it.
Okay.
No big deal." Instead, he lovingly, graciously comes, shows him that he is risen, and then stop doubting but believe.
Yeah, because if doubting isn't addressed, doubting can end up becoming unbelief.
You bet.
Period.
You bet.
Yeah.
So you bet. Because we all have our struggles and we all have our questions, but yet we go to the Word for those answers. We don't revel in our doubts either.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
we struggle with them.
Yeah.
And we come to the Lord for help and for strength. We come to Him in prayer. And I love how Jesus comes to Thomas here. And I think
that
Jesus shows him that all this was for him, too.
Yep.
You know, not just that he's alive, but now he's alive specifically for Thomas. And he shows that so vividly with his hands and his side. Yeah. Place your finger here. We don't know if Thomas did. Took him up on it. That's kind of interesting.
No.
But Jesus takes him up on his challenge graciously and says, "Here you go. Here's the proof."
And you know, you and I were at this conference with Dr. Scare a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, sure.
And he pointed out that that's a very, very graphic word. It's not just, it's actually thrust. I want to thrust my finger into the side there. And I'm assuming that's the same thing that Jesus says here. So if that's what you want, buddy, come on, go ahead. Stick it right here in my side.
And Jesus didn't have to do that.
No,
he didn't.
He didn't
have to show up at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But yet he does.
Or he could have showed up and reprimanded him.
Yeah.
But instead, like you say, I really appreciate that thought. He comes and says, "Yeah, here I am, and I am here for you, Thomas. So stop this. Stop this doubting, but believe."
Yeah, you bet. And I think that what I like about this account of Thomas is, and not just this one account of Thomas, but when we look at Thomas's life, at least what we have revealed in Scripture, in the Gospel of John, I think we see ourselves.
Ah, yes.
As Christians.
Yes. Wait, hold on.
Yes, that's what I've been saying.
Thank you. Yeah, because, no, I agree with you.
Very
completely.
Affirming.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, by the way, it's amazing how you can make your voice sound like that. I mean, you're raspy, but then when you get excited,
gets high pitched.
That's
excitement.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Anyway, but think about it. I mean, there's times in our Christian lives where, like Thomas, we're pretty courageous.
Yes,
we're fired up.
Okay. Yeah.
At least we feel courageous. And I think of an example of like our. I know at our church, Emmanuel, we have a confirmation coming up, and those confirmads. They probably feel pretty courageous that Confirmation Day. They're making these vows that with the help of God, they'll remain faithful. And we talked about that last week on the show. So there's times when we feel courageous, and that's not a bad thing. That's good. You know, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're courageous. But there's also times where, like Thomas, I think we have questions. And we're honest. Remember, honest Thomas.
Yeah.
And maybe like him, we come to the Lord with those questions in prayer. Or we go to his word with those honest questions. And sometimes we're like Thomas there. And sometimes, unfortunately, we're like that doubting Thomas, too.
Yeah.
Doubting Thomas. We want to see it with our own eyes to really believe. There's times when we're like him, are skeptical about Jesus' presence in our lives. It's usually during those times where things are pretty rough, or maybe things aren't going the way we think they should go.
Yeah.
But during those times, just like Jesus came to Thomas, Jesus comes to us. And he comes to us through his word. He comes to us in the Lord's Supper. He comes to us again and again showing, I'm alive. I'm alive for you. I've died for you. I've rose for you. Do not disbelieve, but believe. So he doesn't give up on us. Didn't give up on Thomas. Doesn't give up on us. But yet he comes to us. He comes to us out of grace and love.
But now here's my question. Okay. So, thanks a lot, Jesus. You come to us in word and sacrament. That's the thing you Lutherans talk about all the time. But I sure think it would be a lot better if he would come to me like he did to Thomas, you know, and to show me some wonders and signs. That's what he did for Thomas. Like, why won't he do that for me?
Yeah. And yet we see Jesus appears not just to the disciples after he's risen, but to others, and some choose not to believe.
Ah, okay.
Even though they see him in the flesh.
Yeah.
They saw him alive, you know, as he during his ministry. They saw him post-resurrection, and yet they still don't believe.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why he says, blessed are those that haven't seen and believed.
You bet. And I think, again, looking at God's word, we got the whole story now. We know what happens post-resurrection in the early church. We have the letters of Paul and all those other wonderful things that really lay out for us those things that the disciples didn't understand.
And you know what? That's really a powerful insight. I'm glad you said that, because see, here's maybe why Jesus doesn't come anymore and show his hands and his feet or wonders and signs, because as you said, that doesn't really work. You know, these guys saw him, and a week later they're locking the doors. Yeah. They're still frightened.
Yeah.
But I really like that thought. See, we forget they didn't have the stuff that we've got.
Yeah.
We've got the entirety of Revelation. We've got the record of all these gospel writers, the writings of the Apostle Paul and everything. And that's actually better. That's better than having Jesus stand in front of you showing his hands and his feet, because like he says, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believed. And it seems to me that's the next thing that John talks about, doesn't he? He says that these things are written so that you might believe.
And that's what I was going to bring up. The same gospel, John, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. And so God's given us what we need. We might want to see Jesus, but yet we don't need to, because we see him with eyes of faith that are God-given, eyes of faith that see him in his word where he reveals himself.
Thank you, Matt.